And I am James Coley. This is Radio Free Association here on WCOMLP. We thank Orange County Solid Waste Management for supporting us, including our monthly Trash Talk episodes when we provide information to the community about recycling, confidential paper shredding, composting, and solid waste management issues. It's actually more interesting than it might sound. We talk trash once a month here on Radio Free Association. Orange County Solid Waste Management can be reached at 919-968-2788 or recycling at orangecountync.gov. So, Kevin Klein, you're not the Kevin Klein.
Nope, spelled completely differently.
No, but maybe you are the Kevin Klein and that other guy.
Just an imitator.
Right, that's the way to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's whenever I Google myself, some guy who's a coach for football somewhere in Florida comes up. This guy's using my name without my permission and hogging all my space on in cyberspace. So I don't know what should I do about it?
I would say you should sue him, probably.
Sue him?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, since I don't believe that there's a God, why don't I just go kill him or something? Since I don't think there's a God, I don't have to have any ethics, right?
Yep, that's what I've heard. That's what I've often been told.
Is that what you think?
No, that isn't what I think.
That's not what you think, Kevin Klein. Well, if there's no God, then what basis could there be for ethics?
Well, I think we can mutually decide that it's better for all of us if we, you know, try not to kill each other.
What if I don't decide that? What if I'm Hannibal Lecter? And I say, well, maybe in general, but some people I'm so disgusted by them, I just want to kill them and eat them.
Well,
how do we persuade him?
That's a tough question. I don't know if everyone can be persuaded.
I don't either. Aristotle said some people you just have to lock up.
Yeah.
If you can manage it. So I broached the question, of course, because we're talking about Sunday Assembly, and Sunday Assembly, along with a number of Unitarian Universalist congregations, Ethical Culture and Ethical Humanist Societies, and some other groups, there are various rationalist organizations and other things, humanist associations all over the country, all over the world. These are, I think you have to say, congregations, right? They're places where people congregate, mm-hmm. usually on Sundays. And they get together and they do things like sing and listen to a talk and have a discussion and take up a collection. And these groups do things like visit each other in the hospital and work together for charitable things and for social action and just contemplate what they regard as the most important things in life. But many of these congregations that I just mentioned are godless congregations. Ethical culture, ethical humanism, of course, is based on the idea that you can have ethics without believing in God. You can believe in God if you want to. And now the new kid on the block, a very exciting development. It's happening all over the United States, and it started in the UK, started in London, is Sunday Assembly. And Sunday Assembly happens here once a month, right here at the Arts Center. Well, we're next to the Arts Center. And tell us about it, Kevin Klein. What is Sunday Assembly? How did it start? And what is it all about here in Carrboro?
So Sunday Assembly, we call ourselves a secular congregation that celebrates life. And what does that mean? We call it the fun parts of church without the religion. It was founded in London in 2013 by two comedians, which should tell you maybe something about how seriously we take it. But right now, there are, I think, just shy of 70 assemblies,
yeah.
Predominantly in the UK and in the US, but we have a couple in Germany,
uh-huh.
We have a couple in Hungary.
Oh, it can be done in foreign languages?
Yeah, if you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it translates somehow.
All right.
So our basic service is we get together, we sing pop songs.
Uh-huh.
We have a speaker. Generally, we kind of organize each assembly around a theme, which is decided by our speaker's topic. So last month, we did Wonder and Gratitude. The month before that, we did Improve Your Life with Improv. So we try to have some sort of cohesive service every month.
So Sunday Assembly has three little mottos.
Yes.
What are those? And let's talk about them. Let's elaborate a bit on each of those.
Sure. So live better, help often, and wonder more are the three mottos.
And this is in all the Sunday assemblies all over the world.
Yes. Uh-huh. Assemblies have some leeway in kind of deciding their own direction, but we all share that motto, and we all have kind of the same basic format. So live better really can mean, you know,
kind that gets of, us back to ethics.
Right. It does. Yeah. Live better can mean self-actualization.
Right.
It can mean kind of fitness goals, general happiness. But it can also mean, you know, how do we ethically treat each other the best way that we can?
Yeah. Live better.
Yes. So one of the things we say is that we try to help everyone live the best life we can.
I remember a theater director who, when he was directing something, it wasn't going well, he would just say, act better.
That seems like it was a very good motivational
tactic. That can work. So just live better.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, now let's dwell on that one just a little bit. Live better. But how do you know how to live?
That's a tough question.
That's the question, isn't it?
So I think the way we look at it, everyone makes their own decision as to how they're going to live, and we try to support each other in whatever those decisions are.
What if it's Hannibal Lecter?
Well, we like to think that we don't have any cannibals, but, you know, how can you really be sure?
You like to think that. Of course, everybody likes to think that.
Yes. But there's a certain assumption that we all, you know, respect each other and have, you know, compassion for each other.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, in ethical culture and ethical humanist societies, what a lot of folks, myself included, say is really you need two main ingredients. You need compassion, or the capacity to love others and yourself, and reason. Yeah. Reason plus the love of humanity. And in a lot of religions, I gotta say, reason can go out the window.
Yeah.
And then when you got reason and love and compassion both going out the window, religion can be a very negative thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So live better. That is within some broad range that involves some basic sense of social cooperation and compassion for other people. That means finding your own way in life, but trying to do it in a way that's effective and not thwarting your own ends.
Yeah.
Trying to get your act together. And, you know, having something once a week on a Sunday or once a month on a Sunday or a Saturday or whenever that makes you feel better and energizes you for the week to come, that really can make an enormous difference. That's why churches and synagogues mean so much to people. It keeps you going week after week or month after month, gives you that time when you can relax and reflect on whatever you think is most profound. That could be that could be God, but of course, in Sunday Assembly, it's not. It's other things. It's science, for example. One of the things I love about Sunday Assembly is that instead of a moment of silence, you have a moment of science.
Yes,
and that gives you a chance to reflect on the wonder of the natural universe as revealed by science. And all of those things are inspirational. They keep you going.
Yeah, yeah. That is.
They can help you live better.
Yeah. And that idea of energizing yourself for the week or the month ahead is something we've kind of unapologetically stolen from church.
Right. Well, then why not? Why not? And it's an old idea. Ethical culture started it in the 1800s. And then I think actually the idea of the Church of Humanity goes back to Auguste Comte in the 1700s.
Mm.
But Sunday Assembly does it in a new and exciting way that really centers on music. And we're going to get to that. So live better. And what's the second of the three?
Help often.
So tell us a bit about what role does that play? Flesh that out for us. In Sunday Assembly, help often. What does that mean?
So it happens on a couple levels. There's certainly the help that goes on between the congregation. Like, we're kind of aware of what's going on in each other's lives, so we might give somebody a pick-me-up or, you know, give somebody money if they need it or any sort of support within our community. And that also extends outside our congregation. We try to do service projects every month, like helping out at the food bank. We have a drive every Sunday. This past one was a book drive. I don't remember the name of the organization, unfortunately. But we try to be a positive force in our community.
like churches and synagogues and mosques. There's charitable work.
Exactly.
That you do. Yeah, yeah. And then the final
is
of the three?
Wonder more.
Maybe the moment of science goes under that heading.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So wonder more. What are we supposed to wonder about?
So that's wonder in the sense of, you know, just strictly questioning, I believe, like scientific curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of also wonder is in awe, like really taking a minute to think about.
Yes, yes.
And you don't
have to believe in God or the supernatural or anything. You know, there's been a lot of interest lately in mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I thought somebody should do a parody of it with people teaching mindlessness, just wandering around like a zombie or non-threatening zombie. But seriously, mindfulness is a really great thing. It's an idea that is really derived from Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first learned about mindfulness, I was waiting for a bus. It was in the fall. It was about this time of year, maybe about 2-3 years ago. And I'd been reading a lot about mindfulness and about the idea of just relaxing and looking at things and taking things in and wondering about, just letting yourself feel that awe and that wonder about the natural world and how great it is. So I was feeling very frustrated. I was feeling frustrated because the bus was late. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Mindfulness. And I looked up at the trees. The beautiful fall colors of the leaves and the trees. And I thought, what a lucky person I am to have this time to just stand here and look at this beauty and just forget everything else. And then the bus came along and I said, oh, damn.
Yeah, it's hard. Those moments don't happen as often as they should, I think. We have so many available distractions.
Yeah. And more than ever with these portable devices that are designed to distract us and fragment our consciousnesses.
Yes.
So, Kevin Klein, you are involved in the leadership of the Sunday Assembly that meets here in Carrboro, the second Sunday of every month at 10:30 at the Arts Center. So how did you personally get involved in Sunday Assembly?
So Heather, my wife, who unfortunately is not here, was delayed coming from Charlotte.
Wait, here comes somebody.
That's really eerily good timing.
Oh, Heather.
Hey, honey.
Heather Greer Klein.
Hello.
You are here.
I am here.
Come up right very close to the microphone. Put the microphone very close to your mouth.
All right.
Wonderful to have you here. So we have both of them in the studio now, Kevin Klein and Heather Greer Klein. And we're talking about the Sunday Assembly that meets the second Sunday of every month at the Arts Center in Carrboro at 10:30 in the morning. And you go to about noon, 11:30, noon?
Yeah, depending. There's a reception afterwards, so depending on how long we're schmoozing for.
And so where we were was you were saying how you got involved in it. And so Heather, chime in as well and say, how did the two of you get involved in this?
Sure. So I read about Sunday Assembly, the global movement, I think back in 2014 when they were starting to get some press. And I remember thinking, oh, I really like that. I really need that in my life. But at the time, it was only in London. So then I just randomly saw in the Durham News, we live in Durham, that there was a Sunday Assembly happening in Chapel Hill. And I saw it 3 days before the first Sunday.
The very first one.
So it
was about a year ago.
Yes.
You can have your 1 year anniversary when.
We're very excited. Our January assembly.
January is going to
be
our
birthday
first.
Assembly.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful.
It's awesome. So I went to the first assembly, and it was at a community center, and I thought.
Yeah, the Hargrave Center.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I was there.
At the Hargrave Center. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you remember it was. And I thought, oh, this is great, but these folks need help. And I thought, how can we help? Well, Kevin's a musician and he's looking for something to do with volunteer work. And I feel like, you know, I could help out and I'll bring some cookies. And so I went home and told Kevin, you know, we got to get involved in this. So we very quickly got very involved.
Yeah.
I thought I was just joining the band, but
now
I'm on the organizational team and so is Heather. So,
yep.
Well, it's a great thing to be doing. Now let's talk about the music because in a way, I think it's fair to say that music is the key. That's the core to Sunday Assembly.
Yes.
Tell me if you think this is a fair statement. I think that a part of what Sunday Assembly does and does so well and does so effectively is to take some of what was pioneered by mega churches, the Christian mega churches, where you've got a rock band on the stage instead of a stuffy old choir and an organist. It draws in younger people, draws in a lot of people. Now, the big difference is I don't know that there are any Sunday assemblies that meet in halls where there are 10,000 people. It's not a mega church per se. It's not the size of the group that's the issue. It's what you do with the time when you get together on Sundays to assemble. Music and congregational singing or group singing, where the words are projected on a big screen in front of you, which is the kind of thing you see in mega churches. That's a big part of it. You've got a rock band. You're part of it. And let me just say a little bit about that before I ask you to describe in more detail what you do at Sunday Assembly and why you do it. Seems to me that besides the intellectual side of these kinds of non-theistic congregations, you also have to have something that touches the emotions. You have to have something that meets the, some people would say spiritual, I would say inspirational needs of the individual. And, you know, in humanism, in these godless congregations, we can't do this by saying that if nobody else understands you, then at least God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost understand you. And that's three people at least, or actually just one, that's right. And so what do we do? One thing we can do is just to touch the emotions directly. And it's a wonderful experience. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you've noticed, but some of these songs that you do, they bring back memories. And I tear up a little bit when I'm in that group singing. It's a very powerful emotional experience. And it really does give you that boost without superstition.
Mm-hmm.
So say a little more from your point of view about the role of music in Sunday Assembly.
Sure. I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head with the kind of making the distinction between emotional and intellectual support. Like, it really is a powerful experience to feel everybody kind of united in one voice and, you know, sharing something together. So, yeah, we try to pick things that people are going to at least sort of know, so people will be able to...
A lot of pop songs,
yeah. Uh-huh. So, like, last month we did Katy Perry and the Beatles. So,
yes, uh-huh.
And we pick things that are, you know, not explicitly pro or anti-religious.
Right.
And just kind of...
I remember you did True Colors. We did,
yep,
True Colors a few months ago. And that was... Dad brought back some memories of an old girlfriend who would sing that song to me.
Wow.
Aww.
And it was just, it's so touching. I guess it sounds pretty shallow to some people, but these are songs that we know and that are just a lot of fun and are very uplifting to sing.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And we're extremely lucky at Sunday Assembly Chapel Hill that we have a band, that we have folks who are willing to get together and practice and learn music every month. Not every assembly has a band. Some assemblies just use
recorded music.
Some assemblies use recorded music. Some assemblies, that's an area of struggle for some assemblies. Other assemblies like us, we're very, very lucky. And I think I have to give a lot of credit to the original organizing team. Mm-hmm. Who put a year of work in before they ever had an assembly.
And the band is getting better and better.
Together. Oh, yeah. You know, the longer folks play together, always, the better that everything gets. But music, as far as Sunday Assembly globally, music is extremely important. And this is something that we talk about with all the assembly organizers around the world. We talk a lot digitally, online, and it's just extremely important that we have the music aspect. We feel like that's what sets us apart because of what you said, the emotional experience is what gets people excited. And without that, I mean, that's really something that differentiates us from other groups.
Now, I'm not really criticizing Sunday Assembly, but there's one thing that I've noticed that I wanted to get your reaction to. One thing about Sunday Assembly is that it says it's radically inclusive.
Yes.
So you can come and you can participate even if you believe in God.
Yes, and we've had that happen.
Yeah.
Well, great. And, of course, ethical culture is the same way. As long as you believe in ethics, you can believe other things. And so you say you're radically inclusive, and that this is one thing that is part of what is said at Sunday Assembly meetings, I'm sure throughout the world, because I think there's a basic, not a script, but there are some basic things that
the charter that you
have to do. And I think what you have to make recordings and send them to London and to hold on to the franchise of Sunday Assembly.
That's part of our accreditation process.
Yeah. And so one thing that you say is we don't do supernatural, But we won't tell you you're wrong if you do.
Exactly.
And we have no doctrine, Sunday Assembly. But then at the same time, and here's my just tiny little picky point, is that say, let's make the most of the one life we know we have. Well, of course, a lot of religious people would say, I know that I have another life waiting.
Well, I guess we can, if there's anything we can all agree to, it's that we're alive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of our various religious or non-religious beliefs, I think that's sort of, everyone in this room agrees that they're alive at this moment, so we're going to enjoy it together. So it's the one life we know we have, the other life maybe we'll argue about, but we're not going to argue about the fact that we're alive right now.
Well, what about vampires? What if a vampire wanted to join Sunday Assembly?
We'd have to invite them in first, I think.
Some undead person. Well, you don't meet at night.
Well, that's true.
So I guess it's not going to be a problem with.
I know that would make for some great press.
So we're not really radically inclusive then.
We don't allow vampires. Yeah. The radical inclusion. You know, we talk about that a lot. Also, as a global movement, and what it really means is for the people who are there in the room, we don't care what you believe. The idea is that Sunday Assembly will be both. You know, it's not religious, it's not anti-religious, it's just anyone could walk in and take something away from it. It's just a group of people getting together and enjoying life together. And so that doesn't mean we're going to let every perspective onto the stage. That doesn't mean anyone can come in and say whatever they'd like. We work very hard to have a particular tone and a particular attitude and a particular approach through our charter, but anyone can be in that room. That's our radical inclusion.
So Sunday Assembly does not bash religion.
No.
Yeah.
We're post-theist.
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting phrase, and Kevin and I were talking about that a little bit, and I wanted to get to that, and then I wanted to just spend a little time. We've got about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to spend a little time bashing religion. No, but post-theism. We were talking about Julia Sweeney. Julia Sweeney has this wonderful thing. I think she's really the best representative of atheism we have these days. She has this wonderful video out of her monologue show called Letting Go of God. And my latest communication with her, she identifies as a post-theist. She and I have emailed each other. And a post-theist, and I've also heard, you've probably heard the term as well, an apatheist, somebody who is just apathetic, somebody who's just over it. I don't believe there's a God. I believe there's probably not a God, but, you know, I don't even think about it anymore. I don't really want to talk about it or try to convince anybody else or try to do anything about it. It's just I'm interested in other things. It's post-theism. And that being said, and I certainly think it's a great thing to do this, to have this common ground for people to just get together and celebrate this life. At the same time, I did want, Kevin, for you and Heather, for you to say a little bit about your views. I identify as an atheist. I think, Kevin, you said you did as well.
I do, yes.
And I know you've probably been through the same thing that just about every atheist goes through, that people are telling people who told you in high school or college, if you were an atheist, that you know, well, on your deathbed, I promise you, on your deathbed, you are going to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are going to call upon Him to say, did you get that? And did you get people saying,
there are no atheists in foxholes,
and and there's actually a group, as you may know, called Atheists in Foxholes, atheist veterans who say this isn't true. And then, of course, to sort of bring it back to where we started this evening, there's this idea that, well, if you don't believe in God, then what keeps you from going around and killing and raping and murdering people? So how did you become an atheist? Or, you know, some say, well, we're born atheists. Or I guess we're born agnostics. What's your story in 35 seconds, Kevin?
My story is not super exciting, actually. I kind of was always skeptical, even from a pretty young age.
Yeah.
I guess it started with Santa Claus. And I
mean... there's no Santa Claus either?
I apologize to your listeners. I didn't mean to spoil that for them.
We've got a call from a six-year-old.
So it was more sort of a gradual...
That's where Julia Sweeney starts as well, by the way.
With Santa Claus.
In Letting Go of God, yeah.
Yeah. I've
said God is Santa Claus for adults.
I think that has some merit to it. There was never a revelation moment, I guess, so to speak. It was just kind of... gradually one day woke up and was like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's that's who I am, and that's okay.
And Heather.
Yeah, I don't identify as atheist. I identify as post-theist.
As post-theist.
Yeah, I...
Well, now, why is that? Because to me, atheist just means I believe that there isn't a God. It's not a threatening thing. It doesn't mean that I go around hitting Christians and Jews on the head.
Dictionary definition, no. But there's an association with folks who identify as atheists that I don't want to be a part of. And I also, I don't know. I feel like, not that I'm even open to anything supernatural anymore, but it was such a gradual thing for me. I grew up in a family where there were a lot of people with a lot of different beliefs, and I tried on everyone else's beliefs, and I wanted to find a religious home. I wanted desperately to be a Seventh-day Adventist or to be an Episcopalian, and I couldn't make it work. I just couldn't completely buy in. So I have no animus for anyone who does. I think everyone should pull their energy from wherever they can pull their energy. And that's part of why Sunday Assembly really appeals to me. I feel like it really fits for me at the community that it provides.
So one last time, we're almost out of that thing time. Sunday Assembly meets when and where?
Every second Sunday of the month in the Arts Center in Carrboro at 10:30 a.m.
And Heather, what do you want to say? We've got just a couple of seconds. And what do you want to say to people to invite them to come to Sunday Assembly if it's for them?
A very smart person named Sam Brown, who works for Sunday Assembly International, says that you can't describe Sunday Assembly, you have to experience
Good, yes. You got to come and you got to experience
it. So just come experience it, see if it's for you.
And a final thing about Sunday Assembly, one way that Sunday Assembly I've noticed is different from most congregations is there's a jar where you can leave some money to help support Sunday Assembly, but there's no basket that gets passed around.
Some assemblies have tried that. Honestly, we get most of our support, which we really need because we're completely funded by donations.
Of course.
Is PayPal supporters. People who pay monthly, a little bit of money out of PayPal every month, and then no one has to worry about the basket.
Second Sunday of the month, 10:30 a.m. at the Arts Center here in beautiful downtown Carrboro. Also, Sunday Assembly of Chapel Hill. Carrboro has a web presence, an online presence. How do people get to that?
SundayAssemblyChapelHill.org, all one word. And we're also on Facebook, Meetup, pretty much any other social media platform you care to think of.
Heather Greer-Klein and Kevin Klein, thank you so much for being on Radio Free Association and talking about Sunday Assembly.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And now stay tuned to WCOM LP. It's time now for Undercurrents.